Now from the KSFR newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Monday, September 30th.
Starting tomorrow, New Mexico individuals and small businesses can start shopping for health insurance using the state's new health insurance exchange that offers a variety of plans. Enrollment can be accomplished online, by telephone, or in person at about 160 locations across the state. Although the uninsured are the main target of the exchange, it's available to others as well. Coverage will begin in January. In the meantime, individuals who buy their own insurance can go to the exchange to look for a range of options. The exchange's website is nmhix.com. The New Mexico Legislative Behavioral Health Interim Subcommittee was scheduled to hear an update today from the State Human Services Department on its oversight of behavioral health services. HSD is expected to discuss the recent audit at the panel's meeting in Albuquerque that implicated 15 New Mexico providers of mental health and substance abuse services of fraudulent billing, leading the agency to cut off Medicaid payments to those providers. Subsequently, HSD replaced some of them with Arizona firms. Critics are complaining about a lack of transparency, as details of the audit have been kept under wraps by the Attorney General's office. Senator Martin Heinrich of New Mexico is among those backing a surveillance reform bill in Washington. The Intelligence Oversight and Surveillance Reform Act would end open-ended domestic surveillance and seek to reduce some of the secrecy surrounding government intelligence gathering. Heinrich says more transparency is needed, along with a greater balance toward protecting the civil liberties of U.S. citizens. Drug abuse in Santa Fe and its effects throughout the community will be a topic under scrutiny at this evening's meeting of the City Finance Committee. The focus will be on the Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion, or LEAD, program that would divert some drug offenders into treatment instead of incarceration. LEAD could be in place by early next year and has been projected to halve the current $1.5 million in yearly costs now spent on prosecuting and jailing low-level drug abusers. Two other agenda items deal with creating a community-wide public awareness campaign to take illegal drugs off the streets of Santa Fe. The matters are to go before the full City Council on October 9th. The Democratic Party of Santa Fe County hosts a public forum tonight for individuals who applied to fill the House District 50-seat vacancy created by the August death of Representative Stephen Easley. The applicants comprise four registered Democrats and two Republicans. State Senator Peter Wirth will moderate tonight's discussion. District 50 also covers portions of three other counties, all of which will put forth potential replacements of their choosing. The recommendations will be sent to Governor Martinez, who will make a final decision. Tonight's 6:30 event is at the Performance Space at La Tienda in El Dorado. The 42nd Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta gets underway at the end of this week on October 5th. More than 500 balloons will be representing participation by 20 countries. Along with the event's popular mass ascensions, the fiesta also hosts the 18th America's Challenge Gas Balloon Race, a distance and endurance competition. As was the case last year, all of the race balloons will be using hydrogen as the lifting gas. Helium is in increasingly short supply worldwide, and hydrogen is about 80% cheaper. A $5,000 reward for reporting government corruption is being offered by a Valencia County group calling itself Citizens for Honest Government. A local newspaper reporter says the loosely organized group will use private donations to pay the $5,000 to anyone who turns in proof of public sector misdeeds. The group got the idea after it began questioning the county's new hospital. So far, no reports of any takers. The popular Caja del Rio area of the Santa Fe National Forest is temporarily closed to all motor vehicle use to prevent further resource damage, especially to area roads and adjacent grasslands. A news release from the forest's Española district says areas closed include the National Forest property bordered by state and private land, the Rio Grande, Cañada Ancha, Cochiti Pueblo, San Ildefonso Pueblo, and Bureau of Land Management land. Additionally, motor vehicles are not allowed on Forest Road 24 or any secondary Forest Service roads or trails in the restricted area. Duration of the closure depends on the weather. Speaking of the weather, the forecast for Santa Fe: expect a sunny and dry week this week. Highs will be in the mid-70s, with overnight lows in the low 40s. A cold front is due to arrive at the end of the week, bringing with it cool daytime highs nearing only 60 degrees. I'm Tom Tropridge, KSFR News.
Thank you, Tom. And taking a look at Wall Street at midday, investors are skittish over the threat of a government shutdown arriving at midnight. The Dow currently off 99 points at 15,159. The NASDAQ off 6 at 3,774. The S&P 500 down 7 points. It stands at 1,684. Much more of At Noon coming up for you in just a moment.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
13 minutes past the hour as At Noon now segues to today's feature stories. Contacting the New Mexico Human Services Department can be a frustrating task at times, largely due to the volume of calls and inquiries directed toward it each day. Now, the department is upgrading their communication system. Here to talk about it with us is Matt Kennicott from HSD. Matt, tell us about this new system.
Yeah, right now we've got a what we call a legacy eligibility system called ISD2R. It's been in existence for about 26 years, and we, since the beginning of the administration, we undertook the largest IT project in the history of the state, and we're moving to a new system under that IT project called Aspen. What it'll do is it'll help streamline all the processes that we use in our field offices. It'll help recipients of Medicaid, TANF, SNAP, and all the other benefits that we issue at our department be able to get those benefits a little more easily, apply a little more easily, and really make things a little more easy on our staff.
And will this system primarily help those contacting you via the internet?
Well, it ties into our website called Yes New Mexico, which is our new self-service portal that's actually launching tomorrow. That's www.yes.state.nm.us. That's where people can go to apply online. But Aspen is also an interface that our field workers will be using in the income support division offices throughout the state. The other major improvement is that everybody's case files before were paper files. This is actually allowing us to go paperless. So anybody, any recipient can walk into any field office throughout the state, and we'll be able to pull their file up online and look at case history and income verification and everything else, whereas before we would have had to pull a paper file.
When will the system be up for the entire state?
Well, the yes part starts tomorrow. We rolled out Aspen in Española earlier this summer. Last week, we rolled it out to the 14 southern counties. More weeks, we're going to the northern counties. And then by the end of January, we'll have it live and active in Burleo County, which will make it live in every county in the state. So in January is when Aspen will be live throughout all of New Mexico.
How much did the new system cost?
It was around $120 million. The federal government paid for a large portion of that. They paid for about 85% of that.
Matt, does the department have any other upgrades scheduled for the near future?
Well, not necessarily upgrades, but we definitely will have to maintain the system. That's something that comes along with any IT project is maintenance, and we definitely plan on doing that because it's something that we need to last for years and years to come. We'll have the maintenance, and as things change with, for example, the Affordable Care Act or any other health care law that comes into place that has any impact on Medicaid or any of our other programs, we'll need to make sure we build those into our system.
Is this new system a response to the Affordable Care Act that takes effect soon?
Well, we really needed to do this. Our current system, ISD-2R, is 26 years old. It's built on 26-year-old technology, and for technology that you can measure that in dog years almost, that's pretty old. So we really needed a replacement system. You know, it just so happens that we've got all these other things that we need to integrate at the same time, so it's good timing.
And about how many New Mexicans will benefit from the new program?
For folks that walk into our offices or apply online who won't necessarily see it directly, we do serve 1 in 4 New Mexicans through one of our programs.
Anything you'd like to add?
Folks can come in and apply if they need to in any one of our field offices throughout the state, and they shouldn't see any changes except that things will be more streamlined and should go a little quicker.
Matt Kennicott with New Mexico Human Services Department. Many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Support comes from MexicanWolves.org, inviting you to attend a Save the Lobo rally, followed by a public hearing on proposals that will help decide the future of Mexican wolves in the Southwest. This Friday, October 4th, at the Embassy Suites Hotel on Woodward Place, Northeast in Albuquerque. For more information about Friday's Save the Lobo rally, the public hearing, and related events taking place that day, visit MexicanWolves.org. That's MexicanWolves.org.
17 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. In the wake of the Great Recession, aircraft manufacturing companies have been struggling, but Eclipse Aerospace, a New Mexico-based company that produces small business jets, is among those weathering the storm and now continues to grow steadily. Joining us now is Mason Holland, Eclipse CEO. Mr. Holland, tell us about the company's turnaround.
Eclipse Aerospace was born out of the old Eclipse Aviation Company back in 2009, and we've had the good fortune of being able to grow the company at a slow and steady pace and try to gauge our growth with the overall growth of the national and world economy, which is coming back slowly, as everybody is seeing. So where other aviation manufacturers are still reducing workforce and contracting in order to make profitability, we are actually slowly growing back into production, coming at it from a different direction. So our biggest challenge is not to grow too fast.
And how have sales been for Eclipse?
Well, sales are okay. We've met our numbers for our fourth quarter of 2013, so we're happy with that. We're working on our first quarter 2014 numbers right now, so we're starting to see some signs of improvement with sales and starting to see some forward visibility in sales. And that's good. In the aviation industry, it used to be prior to 2009 that all the manufacturers had very large back orders of business and what we call a backlog in the industry. It might go out 9, 12, 14, 18 months. Of recent, in the last 4 or 5 years, all of your smaller manufacturers, those building jets that are under, call it $10 million in value, are almost building to order now. To start to see some backlog being built back into our sales pipe is a good, healthy thing, but we're still looking for more sales for sure.
Looking down the road, how do you see your company performing?
Yeah, I think Eclipse Aerospace over the next few years is going to continue its slow and steady growth back into the market. We'll see how the global markets respond to aviation in the smaller sector. And I think we could surprise ourselves in picking up the pace of growth as we move into later part of 2014, 2015, and 2016, as we start to see more and more people using private aviation again as a typical means of travel around the world.
Is it a reasonable assumption that demand for small jets is never going to be as brisk as that for smaller propeller-driven private airplanes?
Well, I don't know. I think that there's obviously the two-seat Cessna-type product, the propeller planes, there's a larger market for that because as your product gets more and more expensive, the size of your market gets a little bit smaller. We're in the fortunate side of the business in that we are the most economical twin-engine jet in the world today, and we will be for many, many years to come because there's nothing behind us that's got the technology that we have in our aircraft, which is fantastic. So I really think that Eclipse being so cost-effective from an acquisition price and also cost-effective from an operational standpoint gives us the total cost of ownership equation a big positive for Eclipse in twin-engine light jets.
Eclipse Aerospace will be unveiling a new aircraft at a large meeting in Las Vegas in October. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the National Business Aircraft Association, the NBAA is what they call it, is the largest business aviation event country each year. This year it's held in October 22nd, 23rd, 24th in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Convention Center. And we are going to debut the Eclipse 550, which is our new production version of the Eclipse jet aircraft with all of the enhancements and features that we've been working on and certifying with the FAA over the last 4 years now. So we're ecstatic about getting that product out there for public viewing for its first time at NBAA. It's a two pilot seats and four passenger seats in the back, so it's a six-seat aircraft. However, it's typically flown with one pilot and two to three passengers in the back, but it can handle up to six people.
Now, this new jet has an extended range, correct?
You know, that's one of the cool things about the Eclipse is the range on the aircraft is 1,125 nautical miles, which is about 1,300 miles if you're driving in a car, statute miles. And we can do that in about 3 hours. So we can travel a really good part of the country very, very quickly. We travel 375 knots. The aircraft can burn as little as 48 gallons an hour in fuel, which is extremely low. So it's a very economical and efficient aircraft.
How does the 550 compare with similar aircraft as far as price?
Our closest competitor costs 35% more to operate just because that airplane weighs more. However, it carries the exact same amount of payload. It carries the exact same amount of passenger weight as the next one up the line. That's pretty exciting to us.
Have you received any orders for it yet?
Well, no, orders are coming in, and we do have orders going into 14, and there is some interest. And, you know, with any type of product that's coming into the market, you're going to have some early adopter orders, and they're going to get some of the best prices and discounts for them stepping into the product early in the process. And then you're going to have some mid-level adopters that will adopt it, the product, right after it's in the production and in delivery stage, and they know that it's there. And, of course, that's going to be more towards a retail price. And then you're going to start to create what's called a backlog, and people have to wait. They might pay the same price, but they might have to wait 9 or 10 months for their new aircraft. So it all depends for that customer where their comfort level is when it's time for them to make their purchase.
And any final thoughts from you on this?
I think Albuquerque is a great business environment. I do live in Charleston, South Carolina, so I do commute back and forth, and I do fly back and forth in an Eclipse, which makes it convenient for me to get to Albuquerque. But I was there last week, and I got to tell you, it's the pro-business climate there in Albuquerque is fantastic, and I think it's a great place to house an aviation business. Eclipse Aerospace is very proud to be part of the business fabric of the Albuquerque area.
Eclipse CEO Mason Holland, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Celebrate the work of outstanding nonprofits in our region at the 2013 Santa Fe Community Foundation Pinon Awards, Tuesday, October 8th. Join the Community Foundation for the awards ceremony and dinner at La Fonda as they honor Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, New Energy Economy, Breakthrough Santa Fe, and Pecos Valley Medical Center, as well as philanthropic leaders Nancy Mamel and Jim Duncan Sr. For tickets, visit santafecf.org or call 988-9715. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe Community Foundation.
12:26 as At Noon continues. KSFR is housed on the Santa Fe Community College campus, and that puts us in close proximity to the school's president, Dr. Anna Cha Guzman. We recently caught up with her and asked how, in the wake of her recent one-year performance review evaluation, she herself evaluates Santa Fe Community College.
Well, when the board hired me, they hired me to take the school to another level. And I have found that the faculty, staff, and administrators at Santa Fe Community College are very interested in going to a next level. We were able to increase graduation by 45% in 1 year. And as we established the center that's called the Center for Academic Transitions. I had established a center such as that at the other college, and now that center has become a best practice for the College Board. And so we continue to work on advising. We have gone from 37% full-time faculty to 45% full-time faculty in 1 year. We have increased by 8 full-time faculty. And this has been in a growing environment. And so we believe that Santa Fe is positioned to become one of the best community colleges in the country. And we are working forward. I think that the board is very interested and knows that all of us deserve that. And also know that I am committed to this college. I am committed to them, to the students, to the staff, and the faculty.
Santa Fe Community College President Dr. Anna Cha Guzman.
From farm to feast, the Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute hosts the 7th annual Fall Fiesta Gala on Saturday, October 5th at 6 p.m., featuring local harvest food prepared by 12 celebrity chefs, live and silent auctions, and music by the Straight Up Jazz Trio. Proceeds benefit the farmers market. To learn more or make reservations, visit farmersmarketinstitute.org or call 983-7726. A message from the nonprofit Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute.
12:28 as At Noon continues. The cost for a gallon of gasoline fluctuates regularly. Why these fluctuations occur, though, is not understood by many of us. Here now is KSFR news reporter Charles Maynard with the story.
We're all aware that the price of a gallon of gasoline fluctuates on a regular basis, but most of us have no idea how the prices are set. Who or what is responsible for the price? Doug Shoup is with AAA New Mexico.
Yeah, there are so many factors that go into determining gas prices, both domestically and internationally, and that is why it is so difficult to really forecast where gas prices are going to go, because we never know what's going to be happening in the future. For example, any type of political unrest in the Middle East could cause concern, could cause the prices to actually fluctuate. And so that is why anytime you have those types of incidents happen overseas, we hear about prices on the retail level increasing. Also, weather events, for example, when a hurricane is threatening to hit the coast on the eastern seaboard, that could also cause prices to rise because, of course, people a lot of times will go out and fill up their tanks. There's concerns about damage to refineries that could be done. And so that is why you see those spikes before those types of things. Also, when you have major holidays, for example, Labor Day, Memorial Day, big holiday travel weekends, you're going to see that the demand for fuel is going to start to increase right before those holidays leading up to them. And so we see prices go up around that time as well. Now, what we're seeing right now with the latest decreases in fuel has actually been very beneficial to drivers. We've seen these prices go down decent drops each week, and that's a result of the end of the summer driving season. Now that the demand for the fuel is going down because a lot of folks have already taken their summer road trips, the kids are back in school, so we don't see those higher demands for fuel right now, so the prices are dropping at the retail level. One other thing we can mention is as we head into further along into September and October, we're going to begin that transition from summer blend fuel to winter blend fuel. and that is actually cheaper to produce. The fuel that is produced in the summertime is more expensive to produce because it has to be made to prevent evaporation during the summer heat. So now that we're moving into the cooler months, the fuel will be cheaper as it comes onto the market.
How much do local stations set prices?
Not very much, and that's why, you know, you see that these individual gas stations will typically, that we survey, be right around the statewide average. Every once in a while, you're going to find a station that's going to be perhaps offering gas for a little bit less, and perhaps that's because they're trying to market something else at their station to try to bring consumers in. But for the most part, the stations that we survey are going to be right in line, a few pennies here and there, with the statewide average and in the city averages. AAA New Mexico encourages people to shop around because you can find better deals out there if you're looking for them. So on your way to work, on your way to dropping the kids off to school, if you see a gas station selling for less, and it's not your regular gas station, you might want to think about visiting that one while it has the lower prices.
There are steps you can take that will keep your overall fuel costs under control.
The number one way to maximize your fuel efficiency is keep your car or truck maintained exactly like the vehicle manufacturer says. Even though we're enjoying these lower gas prices right now, we still want people to always think about ways they could maximize fuel efficiency, and keeping those cars and trucks up to date on their maintenance schedule is the best way to do that.
Doug Shoup of AAA New Mexico.
AAA supports a clear strategy that promotes alternative fuels, including ethanol, while protecting consumers. And so AAA is working with Congress and the Environmental Protection Agency and encouraging them to work together to clearly outline how they will manage adjustments to the renewable fuel standard. And they really are hoping that there's going to be thoughtful and targeted action that will help bring some more stability to gas prices. We understand consumers' concerns when these prices fluctuate, especially when they're on the rise. And so that is why AAA and our members are trying, we're trying to keep our members well aware of what happens each week, and we remind them that proper vehicle maintenance is essential when it comes to maximizing your fuel budget.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
12:33 now here in the KSFR Newsroom. Just past the bottom of the hour, the perfect opportunity to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
Tattoos have been around forever. For some reason, some of us feel the need to adorn our bodies with ink. A painful process, I've been told. Now, as you know, there are certain criteria that you ought to keep in mind when you get a tattoo. Number one, you want to make sure that your tattoo artist is a good tattoo artist. I would say number two on the list is that you trust your tattoo artist. You don't want to get a Chinese saying in Chinese characters that you were told says brave warrior when it actually says I'm a nincompoop. And thirdly, make sure your tattoo artist can spell. I know someone who wanted the tattoo God will judge me. Instead, he got God will gudge me, which of course changes the meaning of that old adage, gudge not lest ye be gudged. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Charles Maynard and Tom Trowbridge. We'll be back tomorrow with more news of and for New Mexico for you. And as always, we hope you join us.